the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Coming to you from Mount Airy, North Carolina, out to the world today. You know, I got listeners I found, keeping track of them. Oh, by the way, my name is Thomas Campbell. I'm here in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Welcome. I was checking my listening audience, and I got them from China. I got them from Saudi Arabia. China, Russia, Ukraine, Australia, Britain. I got one or two from United States. Yeah, I got some more than that. Worldwide, actually, is a little surprising. The biggest crowd is from Israel, China, Korea, and UK. You wonder sometimes. So when I talk about the military, I talk about the government and all this stuff that they're doing at the 4-6 broadcast. I don't know. Maybe they want to get some information on the analysis and all that. Who knows? But the main thing is that Jesus Christ is coming back. It said to Thomas, "You believe because you've seen, but blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe." Family, the day is coming that your faith will be rewarded. But in the meantime is our great commission of only keeping ourselves in the fold as the sheep, not the goats. And then to witness to others, no matter what you think, what you feel, is the Holy Spirit to move you. Entertain strangers unawares, because you never know that one might be an angel, but even that, a human that in the need, God will test you. Your mouth saying one thing is one thing in front of people, but what you do behind closed doors is what really matters to God. That's what matters. Not what you do in front of people. What you do when people are not looking. Because God's always there watching. Family, I'm dedicated to broadcast. And tonight, I want to talk about, some people asked me, more than one actually, to talk about the goats and the sheep. And that seems to be a twist. Those like Click, John Click, and Bagley, and the rest of them. What they try to do is say the goats are the corrupted DNA, Satan's spawn, literally. And the sheep are humans. It's like, say what? No, no. People are putting more twists in the Bible than the peppermint twist. Chubby Checker would be left out in the cold on these twists, I tell you what. That they're coming through these days. They're trying to put twists in the Bible that to keep everybody confused. Family, stay with the Word, the Gospels, in the King James Bible. There's not one theologian, north, south, east, or west, of the entire earth can prove otherwise. God don't make mistakes. And the Bible is written by Jesus Christ from the day of creation to the day now. The author of the King James Bible is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is God incarnated, human flesh and the Holy Spirit are all one. And the Bible is written by men who were moved and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Is the author of the Bible. So they say that Jesus Christ never wrote anything in the Bible. He wrote the Bible using the hands of man as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Moses was given dictation, was given to what to write. Moses didn't just write it on his own. God told him, Moses, you will write this. God himself wrote in stone the Ten Commandments. Moses didn't do it. Moses didn't use a hammer and chisel. Slow down, God, I can't chisel that fast. Nope. God did it supernaturally with his finger. How he did it, I don't know. If the Bible says it, he did it. He did it. Then everything else, 6 and 13 instructions, became the law. They were written down on animal skins by Moses as he was dictated to by God. When he came down from the mountain, you know, Moses was a changed man. Family, I'm dedicated to broadcast, and tonight, why did God allow Satan and demons to sin? And we'll talk about the goats and the sheep. And what that means in the parable, Matthew 25, 31, 46. Lord, thank you tonight. We come together in Bible study. Thank you, Father, for this network you've given us. Those that's been here all this time. And Lord, we call upon you, the Holy Spirit, to spread that gospel, Lord, to use us in your service. Father, to humble, keep us humbled. Father, give us conviction if we fall away. God, guide us in our lives. Protect us with the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus. Lord, we pray for our brethren. We pray for families. We pray, Lord, for those come around us. We pray for each other that we confirm each other. And Lord, for those that's divine appointments, Father, give us the words to speak to lead others to Jesus. Lord, to give us that knowledge we need in the times when we come to that those challenges that, Father, come upon us. Father, we know the tribulations are on the way. That no one knows the day of the hour, not one man, not one woman, not one person, not one human knows the day of the hour of your coming. That, Father, we must be ready at any time. Father, we ask you to lead us tonight, this Bible study, Lord, and the rest of this week, that you guide us along. All these things we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, I heard tonight, and it certainly is true, it's cold out there. Even here in Mount Airy, I know you northerners up there say, oh, man, I don't know what cold is when it's minus degrees. Well, we're getting that tonight, I think, here in little old Mount Airy and in Griffinville. Family, there's an attack going on toward the Bible, the King James Bible, and it started. It started at creation, actually. Satan. Fallen angels. They're not representation of evil. They're not aliens from another planet. They're actual entities that live in the second heaven, which is residing in the spiritual, in the physical universe is the second heaven. The third heaven is where God resides. It's mentioned in Paul's writings, Corinthians. About the third heaven, it's mentioned in the Bible, where God resides outside of the second heaven, which is a physical known universe, is where Satan and his fallen angels. And they live on those planets out there, but they're supernatural. There's no such thing as aliens. That's nonsense. The supernatural, the spiritual, can live out in space, but we can't. Human flesh will never make it. It's like being in a microwave. You go outside the Van Allen belt, you're a cook like your pet mouse in the microwave. It won't happen. There's nothing physical on this plane that can stop the radiation that enters in through the particles that a physical that goes out into space beyond the Van Allen belt. That leaves all kinds of possibilities, what I've just said. And a ninth grader knows that nothing can go outside the Van Allen belt and survive. It ain't going to happen. That within the earth is the first heaven. That's also mentioned in the Bible. There's only three heavens. And of the second heaven, there's seven principalities, different dimensions of the second heaven, where the demonic realm resides. So, in other words, when God sends an angel and dispatch to heaven, to earth, like he sent an angel to tell Mary, the angels that went to Sodom and Gomorrah, the angel responded to Daniel's prayer. They have to go through the second heaven like a portal. They have to go through it, literally. That's where it said the angel that was sent to Daniel had to fight his way through for 2 weeks. How that works, I don't know. But he had to call for Michael, the archangel, to help him through. So they have to go through the second heaven, literally, to get to earth, which is the first heaven, and don't start this alien stuff, because that's what they're going to throw at you in the future, is that lie about aliens and all that. That's going to be the biggest falling away ever was. I want to talk about that later. I'm not sure whether it's going to be this week or early next week, but I will preach that subject when the time comes, which has got to be end of this week or early next week. We're getting close. The Great Deception. God created hell for Satan and his angels. So that means slam dunk, that's where they're heading. So why did God allow Satan and the demons to sin in the first place? Well, they had free will. He gave them free will. They were fallen angels. They were watchers, supposed to lead man to show him what to do, because man don't know what to do. You're physical. You don't know the supernatural. We don't know the supernatural. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. He meant those humans that had no idea about the supernatural. If you were to see your guardian angel every day, you'd worship the angel because you're like, wow, man, I don't know. It's amazing. How do you go through the walls like that? There's an angel over you that guards you. There's the Holy Spirit. The way Satan keeps the world leaders and those that's in Luciferian orders is by the rewards they get, by the alchemy, by the supernatural appearances, makes them seem like they have the power. I call it supernatural whiz-bang smoke and mirrors. That's all he's got. As I said a little while ago, it's by faith. God don't give you a show. He wants you to love him by faith and free will. Not because, look what I can do. He tells you what you can do in the Bible. Sodom and Gomorrah. He created Adam and Eve. He protected the Israelites. He did good things and did things that we consider bad, but that's human thinking. God knows more than what we know. He had to destroy a lot of the cultures back then because they were corrupted by DNA. What do you think the flood was for? He had to wipe out that DNA corruption and the evil that resided then. The DNA corruption of the fallen angels that had physical bodies when they were on this earth that mated with daughters of men, Genesis 6:2, 6:4, created a hybrid DNA being called Nephilim, giants, and men of renown. Family, they were the pharaohs of Egypt. After the flood, second wave of fallen angels came back, watchers. They were corrupted because of free will. And their pride. These humans, who are they? Look what we are. And we're teaching them, we got to. We're better than they are. So this pervades itself to the Illuminati. They look at Goyim, that's us, as not worthy. That's the lure that they give them. That's why they think they're better and they are creating a new world order and reduce the population. There's a big picture going on here people don't know about. So it goes back to Adam and Eve and pride and Satan. And Satan, oh my gosh, oh goodness gracious. Satan did not have sexual relations with Eve, for goodness sakes, alive. That's your Armstrong, Shepherd's Chapel, and, oh goodness, Arnold Murray and all those guys, Christian Identity, that Satan had sex with Eve in the Garden of Eden and created Cain. And this Cain bloodline survived. And that's the goats. Now you know. And that's the biggest lie ever was, the south of Mississippi, man. Ever was, and the north too, and the west and the east. It never happened. All of Cain's bloodline was wiped out in a flood. And the sin at the Garden of Eden was disobedience, not sex with Eve, for goodness sakes, alive. But this, I'm just talking about, is common, unfortunately. That the goats are the offspring of Satan through Cain's bloodline. It just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. But Satan works in the religions. And it's, that's what's going on, family. I know it's sometimes hard for people to take. And some people would rather watch Dancing with the Stars, but family, it's going to come down to it. And these people watching Dancing with the Stars and going golfing on Hilton Head and all this other stuff that keep them distracted that I've talked about today, man, they're going to hit hard. They're going to hit really hard. Well, with both the angels and humanity, God chose to present a choice to them. You can't love freely without free choice. If your choice is manipulated, it's not love. Well, the Bible does not give a lot of details, though, regarding the rebellion of Satan, exactly. Not in details. It just seems that Satan, probably the greatest of all angels back then, at that time, he was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, and he was in the Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was the covering. And each stone had a frequency. Each stone represented an order. Had 9 stones on the body. I don't see how that worked, but somehow or another he had 9 stones. And each of the stones had a frequency. This is the physics of it. And the nine orders of angels, every order had a different frequency, and they would give out their praise to God, because they couldn't go in the throne room. So all the angels of each order would sing their praises to Satan, and Satan would absorb the music, the prayers, the worship, in the stones. Then he would go into the throne room, and he's like the first MP3 player. And so each stone would give out its praise, equaling the nine orders of angels, and God would absorb it all. The praises of the nine orders of angels would all come through Satan. Now that's the short of it. So by that assignment, you might say, Satan gained a lot of pride. Isaiah 14:12, I will ascend above the Most High. I want this. Big mistake. So in pride, he chose to rebel against God, and that in order to seek to become his own God. Satan, or Lucifer, as he's called before, Satan now, he didn't want to worship or obey God. He wanted to be God. Isaiah 14:12-14, you know about. And Revelation 12:4 confirms it. It's understood to be a figurative description of one third of the angels. They chose to follow him. He convinced them that he was powerful. Well, since his rebellion, they became the fallen angels, or demons. And through the centuries of man, masquerading at each level, at each phase of man. During the Greeks, Greece and Egypt, they were the mythological gods on this earth. They weren't mythology at all. They couldn't appear as aliens because the Greek and the Egyptians would have no clue what they're talking about. So they appeared as gods. But they were nothing but fallen angels, all they were. Using alchemy, knowledge of the universe, but it only goes so far. Then in the 19th century, they were, like Swedenborg said, spirits. Set up in the 1800s, 20th century, they became known as extraterrestrial. And they're all a farce. They're all fallen angels. But each generation of man had to come different masquerading. They also would have avatars, and they could influence a lot of our philosophers. I can name them for you. Plato, Socrates. Saint Germain, you'll find, was a fallen angel, is a mysterious character in the 18th century. I'm going to stop there about that part, because I can explain it, but it gets deeper into and away from what I want to talk about tonight. The alchemy, the method of which they use the life force, it gets involved to explain how it really works. It's detailed. The Kabbalah, the tree of life and all that sort of thing. It don't matter what they got. They're heading to hell because of rebellion. But not for mankind if they take Jesus Christ as Savior. It's what Jesus died on the cross for. For you, not Satan and his angels. However, unlike humanity, the choice the angels had to follow Satan or remain faithful to God, it was an eternal choice. The choice they made would be eternal. The Bible presents no opportunity for the fallen angels to repent or be forgiven. I had this discussion with several folks not 25 minutes ago on the telephone. I find it very ironic that I was presented with a long-distance phone call with two on the line, and one of them was adamant that Satan could be forgiven if he'd asked for it. I said, what are you talking about? So that went on to about 10 minutes before Bible study tonight. I don't know, man. It's really strange. But anyway, that's what I just finished talking about a little while ago. And sure enough, I was going to talk about this tonight. The Bible does not indicate that it is possible for more of the angels to sin. Some did. The angels who remain faithful to God are described as the elect angels in 1 Timothy 5:21, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ and the elect angels. So in the King James Bible, 1 Timothy 5:21, and the King James Bible is the only true word of God. And people love to argue that, but there's no argument. There's no discussion. It's not a belief, fact. The King James Bible stands alone. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Oh my. 1 Timothy 5:22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. That laying of hands is another story. Satan and the fallen angels knew God in all his glory. So for them to rebel, despite what they knew about God, was the utmost of evil. When Jesus said on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." We as humans, we have no clue about what the supernatural is about. That's why you can't debate the Word of God. No theologian on earth, Harvard, Stanford, yeah, I don't care where you're from, they do not have the dimensional capacity to debate the Word of God. It's impossible. Impossible. That's why debate is listed among the sins that includes even murder. Yes, it does. It's very true. I don't think people know this, you know, that debate is mentioned in Romans 1:29 as inclusive of these sins. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers. You didn't miss much. Trying to understand the mind of God would only give you the ability to debate if you could do that. For us to understand the mind of God would be like trying to pour the ocean to a pint cup. Goodness sakes alive. Can't be done. So how do you debate the Word of God? Pay a homeless man to take you're a computer programmer. You're lazy. You don't want to go to Microsoft to appear before a job interview by Gates. So you pay $50 to a homeless guy. So I pay you $50. Man, you sit in for my interview. Here's my resume. Go do my interview and let me know if I get the job. Worse than that, you can't debate the Word of God unless you've got the mind of God. That's common sense. Yet they still try to do it. And the Bible says you don't do it. So, hello. Anyway, amazing what you learn these days, isn't it? Well, Satan and the fallen angels knew God in all his glory, and they rebelled anyway, thinking they were going to win. Oops, they didn't make it. God does not give Satan and the other fallen angels the opportunity to repent. Further, the Bible gives us no reason to believe they would repent, even if God gave them the chance. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom someone he may devour. Don't sound like repentance to me. Sound like a predator. God gave Satan and the angels the same choice he gave Adam and Eve to obey him or not. The angels, knowing the supernatural realm, had a free will choice to make. God didn't force or encourage any of them to sin. Satan and his fallen angels sinned of their own free will. therefore are worthy of God's eternal wrath in the lake of fire. They know it's coming. They're trying to use technology. Control of the weather that they're using through technology and other means, because they know that day of Armageddon's coming, and that's between them and the Lord. And mankind's caught in the middle. That's the real Armageddon, not the fake one they're talking about in the news and all that nonsense. That's not really Armageddon. Those like Hagee and all the rest of them, man, that's not what's coming. It's not Armageddon. World War III is not Armageddon. Oh my gosh. So, why did God give the angels the choice? Why did he just make them like robots? He knew that the results would be. Why did he give them the choice? God knew that one third of the angels would rebel. Therefore, he'd be cursed in the eternal fire. He knew that already. God also knew that Satan would further his rebellion by tempting humanity into sin. I talked about that today in a broadcast. So why did God allow it then? We ask ourselves. Well, the Bible does not give explicitly the answer to that question. Primarily because the answer would probably confuse us anyway. And this is, as I say it, over a pay grade. That's God's business. The same can be asked of almost any evil action, by the way, and why does God allow it? Ultimately, if it comes back to God's sovereignty over his creation. The psalmist tells us, as for God, his way is perfect. Psalms 18:30. So if God's ways are perfect, then we could trust that whatever he does, whatever he allows, is also perfect. So the perfect plan from our perfect God was to allow sin. Our minds are not God's mind, nor our ways his ways, as he reminds us in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. His ways are not our way. We cannot possibly understand his mind. His memory is our reality. So it brings us to the point tonight, actually, of the goats and the sheep. It kind of comes in together. The goats and the sheep are not Satan and the fallen angels. The goats are not the offspring of Satan and Eve, for goodness sakes alive. Come on now. So we talk about that. We will listen to Max McLean tell us about the goats and the sheep. And away we go.
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Well, this section we're talking about tonight, 25, 31 to 46, is about judgment of the nations. That's what that's primarily about. So, in this version, the parable of the sheep and the goats is part of the Olivet Discourse we talked about a couple weeks ago. And you'll find it specifically in Matthew 25, 31 to 46. And it's a short, simple story of comparison. And you know, Jesus used parables to teach spiritual truths by means of earthly situations. That's how he got the word across. So, the section describes the judgment of the nations, which is to be distinguished from the judgment seat of Christ for believers, and the judgment of the great white throne for unbelievers at the end of the 1,000 years millennium. The judgment seat of Christ is a time of review and reward for believers only. It takes place after the rapture. I've got a number of verses here that talks about it. I'm not going to go over all of them, but I'll list them for you. Romans 14, verses 10. You'll also find it in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 15. And 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10. And the judgment of the great white throne. This one takes place in eternity. And this is after the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. So there the wicked dead will be judged and consigned to the lake of fire. That's eternal. You find that in Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15. But the judgment of the nations, or the Gentiles, the Greek word can mean either, takes place on earth after Christ comes to reign. See, verse 31 clearly explains this. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him. So, if you're right in identifying with Joel 3, you'll find a connection. The location is the Valley of Jehoshaphat outside Jerusalem. So the nation will be judged according to the treatment of Christ's Jewish brethren, and that's during the tribulation period. Cooperating in scriptures would be Joel 3, 1 and 2, and 12 and 14 in Joel, and Matthew 25, as we're studying tonight, 31 to 46. So it's very important to notice that three classes are actually mentioned here. The sheep, the goats, and Christ's brethren. Now, these first two classes, which Jesus Christ sets in judgment, are the Gentiles. They're living during the tribulation period. Third class is Christ's faithful Jewish brethren. refuse to deny his name, and this is during the tribulation, and you'll have towering, massive persecution coming. Especially during the mid-tribulation, the abomination. It talks about that in 144,000. In 25, 33 to 40, you'll find the king's places, the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Where he invites the sheep to enter his glorious kingdom. And these sheep in this kingdom, the kingdom was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. Because he knows the end from the beginning. So, pretty much the reason that is given here is that they fed him when hungry, gave him drink when thirsty, welcomed him when he was a stranger, clothed him when he was ill, clad with clothing, visited him in sickness to show love, and went to him in prison. So the righteous sheep profess ignorance of ever showing such kindness to the king, as scripture go. He'd not even been there on earth in their generation. So, Way explains it. In befriending one of the least of his brethren, they befriended him. Because he's in all of us. Whatever is done for one of his disciples is rewarded as being done to himself. So, pretty much the sheep on Jesus' right hand are blessed by God, the Father, and given an inheritance of eternity. He gives you tests. He'll send people to you. And you don't know whether someone comes up to you or someone you run across needs help. That's him testing you. You can profess these things in church. Oh, we help the widows. We help the churches. We help the hospital. Look what we do for the hospitals, Shriners say, or Freemasons say. Look how good we are. Good deeds won't get you there. It's the heart. The unrighteous goats are told to depart from him. And into everlasting fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. This is already set. They failed to care for him during the terrible time of Jacob's trouble. They excuse themselves by saying they have never seen him. We never saw you. He reminds them that they're neglect of his followers. That's a neglect of himself. And he will send people to you. Let me tell you. Out of nowhere. And only one that knows is you and that person. It doesn't mean you go back bragging. Hey, well, what I did to these guys. I gave them all kinds of money. I helped them out. Aren't I a good guy? I helped the little old widows. Look what I did. Can you put me in the newspaper? Maybe I'll be on Sid Roth. It's supernatural. God don't go for that. He sees what you do in secret. The goats go away into everlasting punishment. Was to turn away. But the sheep into eternal life raises two problems, though. First, the passage that we talk about here in 25:46. Seems to teach us that the nations are saved or lost in mass. It also talks about judgment of the nations. Secondly, the narrative here creates the impression that the sheep are saved by good works. We know that's not going to get it. The goats are condemned through failure to do good. So, we go back and look at the first difficulty. It's got to be remembered that God does deal with nations as such. Old Testament history, there's all kinds of cases and situations of nations that were punished because of their sin. I'll give you a load of scripture here. You want to copy it down to prove it. Isaiah 10, verses 12 to 19. Isaiah 47, verses 5 to 15. Ezekiel 25, verses 6 to 7. And a lot here in Amos. Amos 1, verse 3, 6, Amos 9, Amos 11, Amos 13. So it'll be 1, 3, 6, 9, 11, and 13. Bingo. Amos 2, verse 1, Amos 2, verse 4, and Amos 2, verse 6. And Obadiah 10, Zechariah 14, verses 1 to 5. It's about the nations. Family, you don't think that we're not in trouble by having three-quarters of the United States lift the ban on homosexual marriage? I'm sorry, but homosexuality is a sin in the Bible. So is adultery, fornication, everything else. It is. The idea of the satanic Baphomet is man to become woman, woman to become man, into one body. By transhumanism. That's what it's all about. Changing the creation of God into what Satan wants to create us in, transhumanized, and kill everybody else. That's the bottom line. That's the big picture of what's going on today. It's not unreasonable to believe that nations themselves, not just humans, but nations, will continue to experience divine retribution. America's time is coming. We've been placated long enough, and we're turning away from God. It should take a hint from Jerusalem, but they're not. It doesn't mean that every single individual in the nation will be involved in the outcome, but that the principles of divine justice will be applied on a national as well as in an individual nation basis, national and individually. So the word ethne, E-T-H-N-E, that's translated as nations in the passage we're referring to here in 25:46. And that also can be equally well translated Gentiles. We are in the age of the Gentiles. And that age ends when Jesus Christ takes the throne in Jerusalem. The Bible, the King James Bible, was first, it was the Hebrew Jews in Jacob's time was to bring the word of God to mankind. They failed. Broke up. Then Jesus Christ came himself on a donkey, remember? Of course you do. They had rejected him a second time. So after that, the scripture is written in Hebrew. After that was written in Greek. The Greek name for Jesus is Iesus, I-E-S-U-S. And the King James Bible was written in English. It became Jesus. So they're trying to get you to say Yeshua and Yahweh and all that kind of thing. Well, that's not God. Let me tell you, Jehovah is God. Jesus in English is Jesus Christ. Jesus in Greek. In Chinese, it's Isu. Had to practice that one. And in Hebrew, it would be Yeshua. When you're reading a King James Bible in English, it's Jesus. Well, so what they're trying to do is get everybody to say Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A, all the way across the board. I'll tell you why. Because their fallen angel named Sananda Emmanuel, who's the false prophet of the Bible yet to come, is calling himself Yeshua. You will see him in due time. that is not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what they're trying to get everybody used to saying Yeshua. That's the trick they're trying to use, called the sacred name movement and Hebrew roots movement. Some people believe the passage also describes the judgment of individuals, individual Gentiles, actually. You know, whenever nations or individuals, whether either one, there's the problem of how such a vast horde of people could be gathered before the Lord in Palestine. Well, you think maybe perhaps it's best to think of representatives of the nations, individual classes assembled for judgment. But the second problem, the passage cannot be used to teach salvation by works. That's not how it works. No pun intended. The uniform testimony of the Bible is that salvation is by what? By faith. Not by works. You'll find that in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. But when you look at the Bible, it's just as emphatic in teaching that true faith produces good works. Good works come as a result of true faith. Not doing good works to get saved. If there's no good works, you don't feel guilty when you commit a sin. You don't feel tasked with it, troubled. You better start worrying. If there's no good works, it's an indication that the person's never been saved in the first place. So you got to understand that Gentiles are not saved by befriending the Jewish remnant, but that this kindness reflects their love for the Lord. Not show love to get love from the Lord, but it's just how it comes out. Reflect what's reality. And there's three other points that I want to remind you of before we go today. The kingdom said to have been prepared for the righteous from the foundation of the world. Now hold on a minute. That's verse 34. Isn't that predestination? No, because God knew who's going to say yes, who's going to say no. He still gives you the opportunity to make that choice. He just knows what choices you're going to make. Whereas hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, verse 41. See, God's desire is that men should be blessed. Hell was not originally intended for the human race. But if people willfully refuse life, then they choose death. If you fell in Niagara Falls, and somebody says, here, catch this inner tube. You say, I don't like inner tubes, it's round. Well, that was intended to save you. But if you willfully refuse it, then you choose death. Second point is that the Lord Jesus spoke of eternal, same word as everlasting, fire. It sure takes away annihilation, soul sleep, annihilation, conditional salvation. Eternal punishment is eternal punishment. Annihilation would be kind of reward. I can sin all I want. Oh, my soul goes to sleep. I wake up. Oh, I get judged. I'm a sinner. I get annihilated. So what? Well, that ain't how it works. No such thing as soul sleep. That's a false doctrine. There's no such thing as annihilation. There's eternal hell. How can God torment us for a sinner forever? It's cruel. Well, it wasn't created for mankind. Created for Satan and his angels. It rebelled. But by refusing God, you and your own choice have chosen that punishment. It's not there for you. But you go there because you refuse salvation, free of salvation offered by Jesus. Here's the same one that taught eternal life through eternal punishment. Same word for eternal is used to describe each. Is inconsistent except one without the other. Eternal life, temporary hell. No, doesn't have work that way. So the word translated eternal does not mean everlasting. There is no word in the Greek language to convey the meaning. But we know that it does mean everlasting because it's used to describe the eternity of God. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So then comes the judgment of the Gentiles. And this reminds us forcefully that Christ, his people, are one. So this affects them, affects him. You got all kinds of potential for showing kindness to him by showing kindness to those who love him. That's how it works. People do it for show, but in private, man, get away from me. Get away. Shoot. Go away. You derelict. Get away from me. God sees that, man. He sees that. Well, I don't know what he's going to do with the money if I give him the money or a coat or whatever. He's going to sell it. You don't know that. But maybe he will. Doesn't matter what he does with it. What he does with it with himself is his own judgment. But what you do, that matters. And tithing is not to a church. Tithing could be giving something to somebody poor or helping a friend or something where God puts it in your heart, puts up a situation, and does that little twist, do this for me, and help somebody. That's your tithing. It don't mean you do that in 10% of the church. By the way, 10% tithing is Old Testament. The Bible doesn't support 10% tithing. Some of these churches, mega churches, they got ATMs. You know what I'm talking about, right? Don't y'all forget, we got ATM. If you want to give to the church, you got ATM back here. Oh, man. Then they build another part of the church. Just make the church bigger for what? All of a sudden you're going to get people in there. Use the money for the poor, man. Help members in the church that need help. Give to the poor or clothing or something. But a lot of money goes to the World Council of Churches, National Council of Churches. Used to be Federal Council of Churches. Tithing is when the Holy Spirit puts somebody before you. That is your tithing. No, I give 10% to the church because I get a tax deduction. Okay, I got it. Yeah, all right. See what we do today in this materialistic world? Right now it's practice, man, because I tell you, the signs of the times are creeping up on us fast. You can see it. And America is the next one to go. And when it goes, man, you better be ready to buckle up. That's when you're really going to go to work. This is playtime. This is practice. Because the real test is coming. It's in God's time, too. So don't let it put worry and distraction and all this stuff. If you're a conspiracy researcher, they'll get all frazzled because of all this stuff they throw at you in the fear. The average American don't have a clue anyway. They're watching TV, they're working, they're coming home and vegging out and I don't know what else. And they don't hear all this stuff. Well, it's going to come smack them in the face. God will get their attention. Let me tell you what. When he gets your attention, the tribulations really begin. Let me tell you something. They will not be localized in some place in some other country. Every time I go to Food Lion, or some supermarket, I start thinking about it. I start looking. I say, you know, I lived in Kosovo. I lived in the Congo. It's austere conditions. The supermarkets, well, no, the food stores, if you will, in Kosovo. I was there when they were building the infrastructure. I provided security for about 400, 300 internationals in my region. I was responsible for their safety. So I'd go out in town and do the shopping and, you know, get food here and there. Man, you had these little old food stores, whatever. You had a very, very limited choice of food. So you go to restaurants, really. So you go in, you take the dust off the top of the can, or you'd get what you could, if you could cook, if you could, you know, whatever. So when I came back to the United States, after 9 months of being over there, the culture shock wasn't that. The culture shock was coming back to the United States. That was my culture shock. Because I got into the culture, both the Congo and in Kosovo. I got into the culture. I got used to it. I adapted to it. The lights would go out 4 hours at a time. So you sit in a restaurant, click, it goes off. Nobody would, no big deal. They just pull out the candles. You'd have an instant candlelight dinner. Lights would go off, and you'd have to turn on your electric heater that had been stored up with the battery. Or you just, oh boy, now I'm going to be cold tonight. So you'd, this was normal. This is every day. So I came back to the United States. Here's the point. I'd look at the restaurants. I'd look at the foods, the supermarkets. I'm like, wow, we just come in. Oh, I think I'll pick this steak. Oh, look at that steak. Yeah, no, I don't like that one. No, I like this steak right here. This, they don't do that over there. Not the same thing. You wait till the time comes when there's no supermarkets. And that time's coming in the United States. It'll happen in one day. God's going to get their attention. He's going to get their attention. Why? Because he loves them. And people's turning away from him. So he's going to shake up, shake, rattle, and rock, shadle, rack, rock and roll. He's going to do it. That's when you're going to go to work. That's when you know, oh boy, we're in it. Oh goodness. And that's when they're going to turn their eyes to God, or they're going to curse him. Y'all be ready now. Remind you that I have a website, which you probably know now, watchmenforjesus.com. And a Facebook, Watchmen for Jesus. And we have another network that plays my broadcast and Bible studies randomly in this network. John Kirker, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, at highpointradio.net. He's got sponsors up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, where it's probably colder than here. And the sponsors, if you can use them, you know, I recommend using them if you'd like, or donate to his network. I don't even ask for any of that stuff. I don't get into the financial parts. I don't care. I just preach the Word of God, and I talk about the talk show kind of thing at 2 hours, 4 to 6 in the afternoons, show you how Satan has everything set up and what the reality is. I mean, and I have, it's documented, but always check what I say, check what anybody says. Double check everything. So John Kirkler, highpointradio.net, plays my broadcast. He has sponsors, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. List of his sponsors on his website. Thank you all for coming by tonight. And we went the full hour. And we covered the parable of the goats and the sheep. And yeah, you know who they are. The goats refuse him, and the sheep accept him. Any questions? And the goats are not the hybrids, the fallen angels and the men, or sons and daughters of Cain. Oh, man. That's going around. Something awful. Everything to distract from the Word of God, they're doing it. Well, family, I'm going to close in prayer. And I'll see you on March 4. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in this Bible study, Father. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Lord, guide us in our ways to help us, Father, with the words that you give us to speak to those that are searching for the truth. Father, give us courage and discernment and wisdom when the time comes. That day comes together, the day of the Lord. Father, you keep us to the day of the end. That we'll fight the good fight, but Lord, we need the Holy Spirit to convict us along the way, or Father, to give us encouragement or divine appointments that we can witness to others. We call for help of our families, for friends, for need of to witness, for healing, for bringing families together. And give us courage to speak out, Lord, when the time comes. The right words, the true words of God, that we be your vessel. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family, I want to close now, and I appreciate y'all coming by. And we shall see you tomorrow, 4 to 6. I'm going to hit the ground running. I want to talk about the military totally from the 2 hours. Significant headlines we'll talk about tomorrow. And then Friday, I'll take it from there and see what we'll cover toward the end of the week. It's been a fast week. For me, anyway. I mean, different people, it's different. It's perception is different. Is what you're involved in. Here in Andy Griffinville. Boy, oh boy. And it's cold down here, too. Oh, I know. You guys from New York. You don't know what cold is. Yeah, I know. But for us, it's still cold down here. Tonight, especially. Well, family, thank you all for coming. And I do this every night, Monday through Friday, from 7 to 8, or 8 to 9. Gosh. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4. God bless and good night. And any comments for tonight, let me know. You can get me on my Facebook or my email if you got it. Have a good night. God bless you. This is your watchman, Tom Gamble. I'm signing off.
And every fear I'd ever had just melted in.
I am with you every day.